A Rick Perry speech electrifies a crowd of 1,200 scared, miserable racists. Something is sliding around this coffin, and the nation waits for the Wall Street protesters to clearly articulate their demands before completely ignoring them. We have already met our sales quota for the year and don't need to run this, but nevertheless, here is the Onion Week in Review. Sources within the federal government reveal that they've agreed to reduce Bernie Madoff's sentence if he can infiltrate the country's economy in 48 hours and fix it. Treasury Department officials say the notorious criminal, known to other prisoners as Mad Dog, is the only man alive who has the money-generating skills necessary to avert total economic disaster in the United States.
Every minute he's down in that madhouse, we're 1 minute closer to total economic oblivion.
Authorities confirm that he will be outfitted with a tracking device to prevent him from going rogue before his mission has been completed.
Madoff, you crazy son of a bitch. You'd better know what the hell you're doing.
Sportsmen throughout New England readied their rifles and bows this week for the opening of the 2011 leaf hunting season. Hundreds of eager hunters arrived in the region in hopes of getting a clean shot at some of the first prize maple and oak leaves. While many were able to bag several leaves in the first few days, several hunters noted that they were stalking their prey more selectively this year, given the strict restrictions put in place after overhunting significantly hurt the leaf population last year. A new decoy website known as OutCube.com launched this week with the express purpose of luring away all moronic internet commenters to one single destination. Dozens of other media outlets helped fund OutCube, which boasts thousands of articles and forums carefully crafted to draw in dim-witted web users and effectively quarantine inane, uninformed comments on topics such as gay rights, the New York Jets, Jewish control of the government and media, the Second Amendment, and professional wrestler John Cena.
It's the easiest and most efficient way to gather all the worthless dumb fucks, cretins, and animals in one place so no one has to read their inane horse shit ever again. It's very exciting.
Despite the praise for the service provided by OutCube, the site has still earned its share of detractors. In sports, the White House visit for the 1985 Chicago Bears Super Bowl team is marred by players tracking dog shit everywhere. In other news, a report reveals that Ferris wheels claimed the lives of 40,000 people this summer. Former Munster star Butch Patrick plans to write his autobiography on a word processor he bought at a yard sale. And a dog eating cake marks the end of a local party. Look at you. Go ahead, take a good long look in the mirror. Like what you see?
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, let's get ready to rumble!
10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Nudism, violent content, parental discretion is advised.
Harold Camping was forced to apologise when he said the world was going to end on May the 21st, because it didn't.
If people want me to apologise, I can apologise. Yes, I did not have it. All of that worked out as accurately as I should have, or I wish I could have had it.
But his apology was a little hollow. He claimed he was a mere 5 months out, and that his May prediction, in fact, marked a spiritual end.
It was to be understood spiritually, not physically.
But now, the 90-year-old's new apocalyptic date is upon us. And Camping says the rapture's actually going to get underway on Friday, the 21st of October.
We've already been talking again and again about the end of the world being October 21 in 2011.
The family radio preacher says his new date is probably firm, but many people won't be holding their breath. Harold Camping has a CV of previous apocalyptic predictions, and so far, none have come true.
It's not something you see every day. Dozens of exotic animals on the loose in Ohio after the owner of a zoo let them loose before killing himself. It sparked a huge hunt by authorities and panic from local residents.
Sheriff's office?
Yeah, well, I just found out there's animals loose around this area. Yeah, I think I just seen one. Looks like a jaguar or a wolf.
Officers used tranquilizer guns to control some of the animals, but ended up shooting most of them dead.
6 black bears, 2 grizzly bears, 9 male lions, 8 lionesses, 1 baboon, 3 mountain lions, and 18 tigers.
The shocking images have sparked criticism from animal rights campaigners.
I can understand people's concern. They're calling me from England, all over Canada, all over the world, asking why we had to kill the animals. Do you want, look at these homes right here, a little mile of this place. Do you want loss of human life? We can't have that. It's a terrible thing. Like I told somebody, it's like Noah's Ark wrecking right out here. It's raining right now. It's beyond a bad dream. This is beyond anything that's ever happened to me in my 45 years of doing this.
But for the few remaining surviving animals, a grizzly bear, three leopards and two monkeys, they will spend the rest of their lives here in Columbus Zoo.
Good morning, Captain. Well, good morning to you. Do you need another mule skitter? Down on your new mud run. Hey, hey, hey. Make any mule listen, or I won't accept your pay. Hey, 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 hey.
Thing that's up in the news that kind of brings back memories, if you will, about this exotic animal refuge, preserve, whatever they call it. Now we find out that the owner shot himself, committed suicide, but I guess he went about opening all the gates and letting the animals go free, which resulted in absolute carnage. Back in the Beyond the Grassy Knoll days, which was like the middle show between this one and From the Grassy Knoll, we had a woman on from Minnesota by the name of Mary Hartman. Yeah, that's her real name. And she stumbled upon, and literally by accident, that exotic animal refuges, you know, whatever you want to call them, preserves, blah, 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 not always, sometimes, serve as money laundering entities. She went on a little tour of this one refuge in Minnesota, and a liger got out, half lion, half tiger, and chomped on her daughter, who was very small at that time, and carried her away, thankfully dropped her, and hence there goes the story. So I want to see how this works out too, because as was the case in Minnesota, there are higher up peoples, which you have no problem believing, that didn't want that story to go anywhere. And at any rate, there's a four-part series. I had Mary on with the Collins brothers. That didn't go so well. But I had Mary on in a four-part series called, I think, Lions and Tigers and Drugs, Oh My.
So, I mean, that is the land of unconfirmed.
Yes, we came, we saw, he died.
Did it have anything to do with your visit?
No, oh, I'm sure it did.
There is nothing new under the sun. It's history merely repeating itself. Right at the spring equinox, which is now, today, March 20th. It's already March 20th in Libya. Right at the spring equinox, at the stroke of the clock, the first sortie was flowing in and attacked Iraq. Do you recall what happened exactly 8 years ago to the minute on Ostara, right at the spring equinox? America attacked Iraq and the Iraq invasion began 8 years ago. The sun worshippers number, of course, was going to be invoked here. Right at the spring equinox, the moment the clock struck March 20th, on the clocks in Libya, the first sortie fired the first missile. 110 missiles fired, we're told. Dropped to zero, that's an 11. All for the people's own good, because you see, they want to be free and have democracy. Well, at least that's the official line. Funny, isn't it, that Muammar Gaddafi, educated at Sandhurst Military College in Britain, where Prince William and Prince Harry received their military training. He was selected, not a person who asked. He was selected, taken to the college, and placed in power in Libya, I guess 42 years, and it's over. Or is it? Or is it just beginning? If Muammar Gaddafi resists and will not, and this has already worked out because we already know whose side Muammar Gaddafi is on. The Brotherhood of the Snake will always fight one another, but their leaders will never be killed in battle. It's only the brainwashed soldiers that pay that price. Gaddafi is playing a role, a part, and don't worry about Muammar Gaddafi and his family. They'll do just fine, thank you very much. There will be a deal cut if he ever leaves, and it will be much like, I'm going to mention his name, Hussein, just like the leader of Iraq. That wasn't him hanging on the internet. On YouTube? That was someone who looked just like Hussein. He had many stand-ins, and he had one to stand in for his supposed death. He's probably living somewhere along the Black Sea in a luxury resort with a name change, and you've never really seen him live, so you don't really know what he ever looked like. The only ones you ever saw on television of Saddam Hussein were his stand-ins, his look-alikes playing the role. That's how it's done. You never see the real dictator. Why would they ever show you him? See, the world is full of illusions. And if you take your television set at face value, you're either naive or brainwashed, or both. They're lying to you. It was never about delivering democracy to the Libyans.
National Transitional Council official says the former Libyan dictator Muammar Gaddafi has died. It is reported he was killed in his hometown as fighters ended an eight-month-old uprising against his rule. Sirte, which was one of the last strongholds for Gaddafi loyalists, is now under control of the National Transitional Council. Gaddafi was toppled in August after 42 years in power, and the International Criminal Court has been seeking his arrest. Interim government forces had been facing heavy resistance from snipers in the city and used heavy artillery during its offensive. Thousands of civilians have fled the area. With news of the end of his rule, fighters in Sirte celebrated by firing in the air and chanting Allah Akbar, which means God is great.
We can definitively say that the Gaddafi regime has come to an end. The last major regime strongholds have fallen. The new government is consolidating the control over the country, and one of the world's longest-serving dictators is no more. 1 year ago, the notion of a free Libya seemed impossible. But then the Libyan people rose up and demanded their rights. And when Gaddafi and his forces started going city to city, town by town, to brutalize men, women, and children, the world refused to stand idly by. Faced with the potential of mass atrocities and a call for help from the Libyan people, the United States and our friends and allies stopped Gaddafi's forces in their tracks. A coalition that included the United States, NATO, and Arab nations persevered through the summer to protect Libyan civilians. And meanwhile, the courageous Libyan people fought for their own future and broke the back of the regime. So this is a momentous day in the history of Libya. The dark shadow of tyranny has been lifted, and with this enormous promise, The Libyan people now have a great responsibility to build an inclusive and tolerant and democratic Libya that stands as the ultimate rebuke to Gaddafi's dictatorship.
Dictator Colonel Gaddafi was known for his eccentric ways as much as for the iron grip he held over Libya. His clothes were always of note, whether he was in full military regalia or indeed a shell suit. Ronald Reagan branded him a mad dog, a name he certainly lived up to. The former Libyan leader was well known for his penchant for gun-toting female security guards. He believed they were less easily distracted than men. Well, always one to be surrounded by young women. This is reported to be the Ukrainian nurse who cared for Gaddafi for over 9 years. Then there were his tents. Here pitched inside Cairo's presidential compound, he took them with him when he travelled abroad. And then there was the reported obsession he had with Condoleezza Rice. An album of photos of the Secretary of State were said to be found in his palaces by rebels. In an interview in 2007, he referred to her as his darling. Gaddafi often hid behind sunglasses in public, and this was the case in this last footage of him filmed live. The Libyan leader will be remembered for his flamboyant lifestyle as well as his brutal leadership.
Tyler is an FX man, the movie's master of make-believe. He can show you a thousand ways to die.
Wake up! Cut! Great special effects!
But now somebody wants Raleigh Tyler to do it for real.
We want to stage a fake assassination, Raleigh, and we want you to supervise it.
Who's the we?
Justice Department.
I'm a special effects man. I deal in make-believe. I'd like to keep it like that.
We just thought that we might be able to utilize your particular genius to help us out.
And what if someone takes a shot at
you? You are 100% protected. I give you my word.
That job that guy wanted me to do? I think I'll do it.
But someone else is writing the script and casting him as the killer.
I haven't done anything.
What if he put in real bullets?
If one person suspects.
Sorry, Raleigh. No loose ends.
This is up to something. He tried to kill me.
You go directly to the newspapers.
What makes you think they'd believe me?
I believe you.
My name's Leo. We need to talk.
Where the hell are you, Tyler?
He's going to need every trick from every movie he's ever made.
Remember my particular genius.
Just to get even. And get out alive.
I'm in pursuit of a blue step van. Letters on the side. X as in Frank, X as in X-ray.
Remember Skidball Express?
I sure do!
Mail!
Son of a gun, your fate is hot.
But Rawley Tyler's most special effects
are yet to come.
Forget why you hired me.
What next?
At the next corner, send Nelly in!
Oh my God, what?
Is he the weapon? Or the victim? Is it murder? Or is it... MX.
The national security interests of America.
Well, Iran has made little secret of its desire to gain hegemony in the region of the Persian Gulf, the critical oil and natural gas producing region that we fought so many wars to try and protect our economy and from the adverse impact of losing that supply or having it available only at very high prices. The critical oil and natural gas producing region that we fought so many wars to try and protect our economy and from the adverse impact of losing that supply or having it available only at very high prices. Iran continues to support terrorists in and around the region. They continue to pursue nuclear weapons. And if they gain the upper hand in Iraq, as they have the upper hand now in Syria and Lebanon, our friends Israel and our Arab friends in the region are going to be sorely pressed.
So is it possible that 8 years of American efforts, almost $1 trillion in money, but most importantly, the cost of precious American lives, could all be for naught?
I think it's a very real risk, and I think the president just failed to understand the significance of what he's done, both in terms of the cost we've already borne and the risks and cost we may bear in the future.
Ambassador John Bolton, many thanks, sir. Appreciate it.
Quote, let me remind you that the track record of the consensus is nothing to be proud of. Let's review a few cases. In past centuries, the greatest killer of women was fever following childbirth. One woman in six died of this fever. In 1795, Alexander Gordon of Aberdeen suggested that the fevers were infectious processes, and he was able to cure them. The consensus said no. In 1843, Oliver Wendell Holmes claimed perpetual fever was contagious and presented compelling evidence. The consensus said no. In 1849, Semmelweis demonstrated that sanitary techniques virtually eliminated puerperal fever in hospitals under his management. The consensus said he was a Jew, ignored him, and dismissed him from his post. There was, in fact, no agreement on puerperal fever until the start of the 20th century. Thus, the consensus took 125 years to arrive at the right conclusion despite the efforts of the prominent, quote, skeptics around the world, skeptics who were demeaned and ignored, and despite the constant ongoing deaths of women. There was no shortage of other examples. In the 1920s in America, tens of thousands of people, mostly poor, were dying of disease called pellagra. The consensus of scientists said it was infectious, and what was necessary was to find the pellagra germ. The U.S. government asked a brilliant young investigator, Dr. Joseph Goldberger, to find the cause. Goldberger concluded that diet was the crucial factor.
That's right.
The consensus remained wedded to the germ theory. Goldberger demonstrated that he could induce the disease through diet. He demonstrated that the disease was not infectious by injecting the blood of a pellagra patient into himself and his assistant. They and other volunteers swabbed their noses with swabs from pellagra patients and swallowed capsules containing scabs from pellagra rashes in what were called, quote, Goldberger's filth parties, end quote. Nobody contracted pellagra. The consensus continued to disagree with him. There was, in addition, a social factor. Southern states disliked the idea of a poor diet as the cause because it meant that social reform was required. They continued to deny it until the 1920s. Result, despite a 20th century epidemic, the consensus took years to see the light. Probably every school child notices that South America and Africa seem to fit together rather snugly. And Alfred Wegener proposed in 1912 that the continents had in fact drifted apart. The consensus sneered at continual or continental drift for 50 years. The theory was mostly vigorously denied by the great names of geology until 1961, when it began to seem as if the sea floors were spreading. The result, it took the consensus 50 years to acknowledge what any school child sees. And shall we go on? The examples can be multiplied endlessly. Jenner and smallpox, Pasteur and germ theory, saccharin, margarine, repressed memory, fiber and colon cancer, hormone replacement therapy. The list of consensus errors goes on and on. Finally, I would remind you to notice where the claim of consensus is invoked. Consensus is invoked only in situations where the science is not solid enough. Nobody says the consensus of scientists agrees that E equals MC squared. Nobody says the consensus is that the sun is 93 million miles away. It would never occur to anyone to speak that way. There is no such thing as consensus science.
Right.
If it's consensus, it isn't science.
Absolutely.
If it's science, it isn't consensus, period, end quote. And that's by Michael Crichton.
Can you tell me why they are protesting on Wall Street?
I'd be glad to.
Is it because the banks took big bonuses and dividends, were bailed out and now people are losing their homes and not one banker has been prosecuted?
That is part of it.
What is the entire story?
The banks were bailed out for about $27 trillion, according to Dylan Radigan of MSNBC and other reliable sources.
I thought it was only $750 billion.
That was the TARP money, approved by Congress. The Federal Reserve and the FDIC sent the rest to banks and corporations across the world. The American taxpayer is on the hook.
How much was paid back?
We have no way of knowing.
Why is that?
The Fed won't tell us. They are a private bank.
Okay. But what about the rest of the story?
The banks across the world continue to steal trillions in bonuses and dividends, and are currently being bailed out in Europe, where they are on the verge of collapse and meltdown.
Pick me up, love, from the bottom. To the top, love, every day. I pay no mind to taunts or advances. I take my chances on every day. Left to right, oh, up and down, love. I push up, love, love, every day. Come on and jump in the mud of love. Get yourself filthy. Could love it up every day.
How do they steal the money?
They use derivatives and credit default swaps.
What is a derivative and credit default swap?
It is a bet.
Is that legal?
Yes.
So why is it stealing?
Because the banks put them on their balance sheets as assets or real money, knowing they will default. They take bonuses and dividends against these, and that is fraud, misallocation of funds, conspiracy, to name a few. Then, when the swaps actually default, the asset becomes toxic and worthless. The bank is then broke, but the money is gone.
Gee, this sounds terrible.
It gets worse. The banks across the world are intertwined, and have tremendous exposure to sovereign defaults, via swaps. So, if one country defaults, it can spread like a disease, to other banks across the world, and you have another credit meltdown.
Will it come to America?
If it happens, of course it will.
All you need is what you want, yes. All you need is love.
All you need is love. Pick me up, love, from the bottom, up onto the top, love. Every day I will pay no mind to taunts or advances I'm gonna take my chances on. Every day, look, left to right, oh, up and down, love, it's a good love fight for. Every day, come on and jump. Yo, get yourself filthy with love it up, yo, every day.
Why do they allow this and not arrest the bankers?
Bankers don't go to jail. They own and run politicians who are just puppets for them.
I am depressed.
So am I. But it goes beyond banks to corporations bribing politicians directly, using the word lobbying instead of bribery. The corporations get legislation passed that in some cases, they help write. This legislation allows them to outsource jobs, benefiting from tax loopholes, and offshoring, and generally bringing down wages, and limiting competition. So, the people vote, but are not represented.
It sounds to me like the entire system is corrupt.
Yes, it is.
Why is this allowed?
Because the people are sleeping.
What can be done to fix it?
All you need is what you want, yes. All you need is love. All you need is what you want, yes.
Tough guy, this is not a war zone. This is not a war zone. These are unarmed people. It doesn't make you tough to hurt these people. It doesn't make you tough to hurt these people. It doesn't. I don't care. I don't care about these people. I put in my work. It doesn't lie. It does not make you tough to hurt these people. There's nothing tough about it. Nothing. If you want to go fight, go to Iraq and Afghanistan. But you want to be here hurting U.S. citizens. Where is that in the contract? Where is that in the contract? Leave these people alone. They're U.S. citizens. U.S. citizens. U.S. citizens. U.S. It does not make you tough to do this to them. It doesn't. Stop hurting these people, man. Why y'all do this to our people? I've been to Iraq 14 months for my people. You come over here and you hurt them. They don't have guns. They don't have guns. They don't. Why are you hurting these people? It doesn't make any sense. It doesn't make any sense. How do you sleep at night? There is no honor in this. There is no honor in this. There is no honor in this, man. There's no honor in this, man. There is no honor in this, man. There is no honor in what you're doing to these people.
float straight out of our lids. Them, they got boo bodies, hard rock Brooklyn kids. Us, floor rush, when they DJ booming classics. You dig the crew on the fattest hip-hop record. He tucks the kinks and sinks into the sounds. She frequents deep, fatter joints called undergrounds. Our funk zooms like you hit the Mary Jane. They flock to booms, man, Boogie had to change. Who freaks the clips with mad amount percussion? Where kinky hair goes to unthought of dimensions? Why's it so fly? Cause hip-hop kept some drama. When Butterfly rock the light blue suede boomers. What by the cut? We push it off the corner. How was the buzz entire hip-hop era? Was fresh and fat since they started saying Audi? Cause funk's made fat from right beneath my hood. The Cuba of the styles like Miles-ish. Like 60s funky worms with waves and perms. Just sending junky rhythms right down your block. We beat to rap, what key beat to lock? But I'm cool like that, I'm cool like that. I'm cool like that, I'm cool like that. I'm cool like that, I'm cool like that. I'm cool like that, I'm cool, I'm cool.
We beat a chocolate, tap to my raps. She innovates after sweet and cat naps. He at the funk club with the vibrate. Them, they be crazy down with the five link. It can kick a plan, then a crowd burst. Me, I be digging it with the bug burst. Us, we be freaking till dawn, peace and I. He gets a stranger smile, so I say hi. Who understood? Yeah, understood the plans. Him heard of it and put it to his hands. What I just flip, let borders get loose. How to consume all the beaches like juice. If it's the shit, we'll lift it off the plastic. The babes will go spastic, hip-hop is a classic. Pimp play a shot, it don't matter, I'm fatter. Ask Butter how I zone.
Man, Cleopatra Jones.
And I'm chill like that, I'm chill like that. I'm chill like that, I'm chill like that. I'm chill like that, I'm chill like that. I'm chill like that, I'm chill.
Free, cause the clips be fat for us. Them dug the jams and commenced to going off. She sweats the beats and asks me cause she puppet. Me, I got crew kids, seven and a crescent. Us cause a buzz when a nickel bets a dealt. Him, that's my man with the asteroid belt. They catch a fizz from the Mr. Doodle Big. He rocks a tee from the Brooklyn Nine Pigs. The rebirth is slick like my gangster stroll. The lyrics just like Luke come in stacks and rolls. You used to find the bug in a box with Dave. Now he boogies up your stage, plats twist the braids. And I'm peace like that. 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 I'm peace.
Check it out, man. I groove like that. I'm smooth like that. I jive like that. I roll like that.
Yeah, I'm thick like that. I stack like that. I'm down like that. I'm black like that.
Yo, I funk like that. I'm fat like that. I'm in like that cause I swing like that.
We jazz like that. We freak like that. We zoom like that. We out. We out. We out.
Come on, sir, keep moving.
How do you do this to people?
Let's go.
How? You're here to protect them! You're here to protect us! Protect us! Why are you hurting U.S. citizens? This is the United States of America! Why are you hurting people? If you want to go kill and hurt people, go to Iraq. Why are you hurting U.S. citizens? Why? What this does it make? Do you get honor out of this? Do you get honor out of hitting people with batons?
Чернила плакать, писать афера на взрыв, пока грохочущая слякоть весною черною горит февраль. Достать чернила плакать, писать о феврале на взрыв, пока грохочущая весною черною горит.
was in 1993, probably, I think, is when I went to Russia. I was taking Russian classes at Florida State. I thought they were Spanish classes. It was a noon class, and I signed up, and then I was like, sweet, Spanish at noon? I could phone that in. And then I get there, and they start writing in a new language, a new alphabet, and I'm like, all right, this clearly isn't Spanish. So then I said, I'm going to leave, and the teacher's like, listen, don't leave, because if you leave, we can't have a class, and I can't get my master's degree. So, but if you stick around, I'll talk to you after the class. I get done the end of the class. She's like, listen, don't... you know, if you don't leave and I won't, and just show up at class, I'll give you a C. And I was like, done. So I took Russian. I took Russian 1, 2, and 3, because these kids needed another guy in their class to take these classes. So then finally I take Russian 4 and we go to Russia. We go to Russia. But this is Russia like when the mob ran Russia. Like, are you guys aware of that?
No.
Okay, in like the late 90s, mid 90s, the mob ran everything that had to do with Russia. So when going over to Russia, you had to literally pay off the mob in order to go and study abroad. So we paid off the mob, and they gave us in return two banditos, two young mobsters who would go everywhere with us. They lived in our hotel. They stayed with us. They went on tours with us. They did everything with us. Their names were Igor and Sasha. And when we got there, our teacher was like, listen, this is Igor and Sasha. They will be ghosting us. But my teacher, who was there with me, was like, they're in the mob.
Igor and Sasha. It's like a gay guy named Bruce.
And they were like, oh, it gets worse. So they're like, listen, whatever you do to our class, do not talk to them. Do not interact with them.
Oh, my God.
Do not engage them. They are only here to shadow us. So in my head, I'm like, get to know these guys, right? Like, get a bottle of vodka, six-pack of Baltica, knock on their door. Now, mind you, I speak no Russian at the time. No Russian, because I'd never studied in any of the classes. So first night there, I knock on Igor and Sasha's room, and they're having a party in there. Like, all their friends are in their room. They lived right next to me. And Kendra, my teacher, lived across the hall from Igor. So I knock on their door. Igor opens the door, and he looks like a thug. He's got like a wife beater on, a cigarette, a beer, and he just looks at me in Russian and just goes, "Что?" And now, the second he says that, I start panicking. All the phrases I had in my head that I was trying to say all disappear, and all I say to Igor in Russian is, "I am the machine."
What is that? How do you say that?
Я машину. And so, but I just said, "Я машину." And he went, "Huh? Что?" And now I don't know what I've said. I'm like, what did I just say? I'll f*** you up? Like, and I go, "I am the machine." And he goes, "Say it again." I said, "I'm the machine." And then he starts laughing, and he brings me into the room. He's like, "Hold on. Say it again." And so I say it to the room. I don't know what the fuck I'm saying. I'm like, "I'm the machine." And they're like, "You're the machine." And I'm like, "I'm the machine." I said that all night with these guys. That's the only communication we had, is I said, "I'm the machine." And Igor and Sasha and I became best friends, right? We did everything together. If we went on a field trip, they would tell me, "Machine, you don't need to go on the field trips. Come drink with us." So now, cut to one day, we have to take a train to Moscow. Now, a different mob ran the train to Moscow, and a different mob ran Moscow. And Igor and Sasha were not allowed to cross boundaries. And they told me, they said, "Listen, we're not going to go with you, but we've taken care of you. We've talked to the mobsters on the train and in Moscow." Because we had to pay them, too.
Weren't allowed to come with you.
They weren't allowed to come with us.
Because it's a different mob.
And we're paying a different mob now to protect us on the train.
Wow.
We're paying a different mob to protect us in Moscow.
Holy sh!
So they said, "We've taken care of it. Don't worry about it." So they take me to the train, and they introduce me to our two new gangsters, Igor and Igor. And
what? Double
Igors. I swear to you.
Three Igors out of four dudes.
Igor and Igor. There's not a lot of names in Russia. It's Alex, Igor, or Sasha.
What about Fyodor?
So Igor and Igor... My Igor says to these Igors, "This is the machine. If you give him alcohol, you'll have a great time." So Igor and Igor are like through the roof. They're like, "Awesome. Don't worry. We've taken care of you. We're sitting in first class." You're not sitting with your class. You're sitting in first class to Moscow. And I'm like, holy shit, this is what I'm talking about. And I bring another guy, John Bolshoi, Big John. I bring him with me to go sit in first class. And sure enough, man, we're in first class. Just me, these two Igors, John, the conductor. I shit you not. The conductor, before the train takes off, comes into the room. I swear to you, rips off the band on this thing, says, "This is a present for the machine. It would be an honor to do a shot with you." And I'm like, "Oh, this is f-ing right." So I do a shot with the conductor, and we pound this vodka within like 30, 45 minutes. We're done all the vodka in the room.
Whoa.
We're drinking hard. And my class is all on coach, and I'm sitting in first class. And Igor and Igor are like, "Let's go get more vodka." And I'm like, "Done. These guys run the f-ing train." So we get up, we walk into the bar cart, and Big Igor says, "Machine, grab a bottle of, grab some bread, Kleb." And I'm like, "That's bread. I'm understanding Russian. He's like, grab some siyev, that's cheese. I'm like, I'm learning Russian. I'm looking at John who's standing behind me. He's like, yeah. He's like, grab vodka. I go, I know that one. And he's like, grab all the money. Grab all the rubles. And I go, what? I look around and we're robbing the bar cart.
What?
The bartender's standing like this. Everyone's standing against the wall. And I'm sitting behind the bar with a handful of rubles, a bottle of vodka, and a thing of bread going, holy f***. John looks at me and he's like, just take it. Let's go. Take all the cash out of the bar cart.
And what is the bartender doing?
Not making eye contact. And they're packed.
Everyone
out.
Just lets it happen.
It's the mob. They ran everything in Russia. Everything.
Wow.
And so we get done and we go back to our room and it's a totally different energy. Very sketchy, you know? And
are you freaked out now?
I'm freaked out because I'm like, I just robbed the car. Like, no one else saw anyone rob the bar car except for me. And my teacher, Val, who's at the time was our chaperone, didn't speak any Russian. She comes to our first class cart, opens the door, and says, I need to talk to you right now. And I was like, listen. And she goes, I told you that you're in big trouble. Your classmates have told me what happened. Big Igor takes a sip of vodka, spits in her eyes, and goes, no one talks to the machine like that. I'm like,
oh. Whoa, he spit vodka in her eyes?
And it is, and then shuts the door, and then looks at me, and he says, don't worry, I got you. When it gets dark, we're going to have a lot of fun. And he pulls out a thing of keys. He's got keys to the whole train. He's like, we're going to rob everyone when it gets dark. Now I'm like, what did I get myself into?
God.
Like, this is bad news, bad news. So it gets dark, and sure enough, then we start robbing the train. Go through my class first. We open the door. Little Igor would crawl in, pull the bags out. John and I would go through them and try not to steal anything important. And Big Igor would stand guard, and if anyone woke up, he'd take a sip of vodka and spit it in their face.
What?
And it was, I mean, it's sketchy. Now it's sketchy. It's not even fun.
Are these guys armed?
No. They're loaded, though. They're hammered, piss drunk. We robbed my whole class, and then they end up taking off and going into the car, and me and John are sitting in the first class car just thinking, we're f***ing, man, we're f***ing. We robbed the train, we've robbed the bar cart, and they come back and they're just f***ing angry drunk, like piss angry drunk. We pull into Moscow and my teacher Val comes to the door, opens it and said, I'm just letting you know we've called the police. So Igor and Igor are like, f*** it, don't worry, f*** the police, this is Russia. Who the f*** does she think she is? This isn't America, this is Russia. We run everything. I'm like, ugh, I'm gonna f***ing go to the gulag. Sure enough, man, the cops are sitting on the middle, you know, where people get off the train, that little receiving area. My class is sitting there. My whole class are in the pajamas. They're crying. Their bags have been gone through. They're giving statements to the cops, and the cops are writing them down. And I'm sitting with Igor and John in the cart, and they're just still drinking and smoking. And they're like, we'll take care of this right now. They walk outside, out to the cops, and start yelling at the cops. And I'm like, this is not how I would have taken care of this. Just, I don't even know what they're saying, but they're just shouting, and the cops are shouting back. And then finally, Big Igor just starts pointing at me. And I'm like, oh, he's pinning this whole f***ing thing on me? Like, I'm going down for the whole thing? And then the cop starts pointing at me and telling me, Zidis, Pajom, or whatever he's saying. Come here, right now. So I walk out, and it's that moment where you find the hash on your body. You know, they find it, and you're going to jail forever. That's that moment, that walk, where your ass gets cold, and you're like, this is it.
Midnight Express.
That's the moment. And I walk all the way across this little trail to get to him. I get right up to the cop, and the cop looks at me and he goes, I understand you're the machine. And I was like, yeah. And he goes, tonight you party with us.
Do you like being a participant in the watering can of the flowers of freedom throughout the world?
I lost myself on a cool, damp night. Gave myself in that misty light. Was hypnotized by strange delight under a lilac tree. I made wine from the lilac tree, put my heart in its recipe. It makes me see what I want to see, be what I want to be. When I think more than I want to think, do things I never should do. I drink much more than I ought to drink, because it brings me back you. Lilac wine is sweet.
ready, like my love. Lilac wine, I feel unsteady, like my love. Listen to me, I cannot see clearly. Isn't that he coming to me nearly here? Lilac wine is sweet and heady. Where's my love? Lilac wine, I feel unsteady. Where's my love? Listen to me, why is everything so hazy? Isn't that he, or am I going crazy, dear? Lilac wine, I feel I'm ready.
Now, go find the others.com.
Yeah, man, I tell you what, that dang old internet, man, you just go on there and point and click, 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 click. It's real easy, man.